trying. It feels a bit extra to use a microphone with this many people, but it's good for the recording, so you can hear me loud and clear. Why don't I pray before we chat? Father God, we thank you so much for this new day, and Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather and chat and learn together how we could better open up your word with others, how we could better help them to hear your voice. And so, Father, please give us wisdom, please give us energy, please give us excitement that although we may not be experts, that you have given us everything we need to be able to open up your word with other people. Amen. Amazing. So welcome to our final session of the workshop, which is all about how to write Bible studies. And I've already confessed to you all that I'm not an expert Bible study writer or leader by any means, so please do not expect that from me, but I have done a fair few of my time, so I'm hoping there's a little bit of wisdom that I've gathered from others and from my own experience that can hopefully encourage you as you start out or as you continue on. There's lots more ways that we can all grow in this area, and it's really exciting that we will spend a lifetime learning this. So why not get started now, is basically my theory on that one. So primarily I'm going to be talking about like small group studies, and that could be really informal. That could be with your family, or it could be with some friends over the summer, or on camps, or in a life group setting here or elsewhere. It would be true in a one-to-one if you're just meeting up with one other Christian, and it would also, in many ways, there'd be lots of transferable truths if you're going to open up the Bible with a non-Christian mate. The kind of principles are the same, and the outworking of it would just look slightly different. So hopefully it'll be useful, whichever one you think you fall into. So we're going to be looking at the why, the what, and the how of Bible studies. Because only when we know why we're doing Bible studies will we know how we want to do them. Fundamentally, our purpose will shape our practice. And so I'd love you to turn just to your neighbours for literally 2 minutes and just answer that question for me. Why do we do Bible studies? We do Sunday sermons. Fabulous. Why do we do Bible studies as well? 2 minutes. Gang, I'm going to bring us back together there, and we're going to look at a verse that Hamish referenced quite a lot, actually, in his earlier section from 2 Timothy, very famous verse, which William's going to read out loudly for us. Amazing. And the thing that I just wanted to identify from that is that any time we open the Bible together, our aim is twofold. It is faith. So how does this deepen my trust and love in God? And our aim is obedience. So Paul here refers it to it as being equipped for every good work. But there are lots of other things that we do in a Bible study, aren't there? There's lots of other opportunities that we have. Classically, we might think of that phrase from Ephesians 4 of speaking the truth in love one to another. It's an incredible opportunity for that to happen, isn't it? As we meet around God's word, to be speaking God's word to one another, to be applying it to one another's lives. It's a wonderful context to see God at work in the lives of people that are really different to us, people in different phases of life, people in different phases of their Christian journey. And it's a wonderful opportunity to be able to apply really personally to our own hearts and to see in action God's word working on others' hearts at the same time. Now, I'm sure you guys probably came up with lots of other reasons as to why we do Bible studies, but I hope that that starts to encourage you that they are both useful and wonderful, but also really exciting places, because we can expect that we are changed as we read God's word together. Another way of thinking about this is that as Christians, every single one of us is a Bible thinker and a Bible speaker. So I've asked Lizzie to read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34 for us.
Thank you.
there's so much in that verse, but the little bit that I want to pick out is that as new covenant Christians, we're in this wonderful position because we have God's law written on God's on our hearts. And that's an incredible thing. So I've said Bible thinker, that's purely because lots of Christians around the world don't have access to the written text, so they can't be Bible readers, or historically, there wouldn't have been the literacy. But you could think about it in that terms. We're all Bible readers or Bible thinkers. We're those who are chewing on God's word for ourselves. And then we're all called and commanded in the New Testament to be Bible speakers. So I've already mentioned Ephesians 4, where we're told to speak the truth and love one to another. You also have it in Colossians 3:16, very famously. We're told for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly as a church family. And so it's an incredible thing, isn't it, that a Bible study is a great context for that to happen. Because we as believers, filled with the Spirit of God, are called to speak God's word to one another as we read it and we try and hear God's voice together. And so when we're asking, what is the aim of a Bible study? This is currently my working definition. I'm sure by next week it might have changed again, but here we go. So it's for a group to think about and speak God's word to one another together. So I think that's really key. We're trying to do it together. That's the point of it being a group. And the aim, it's that we might grow in faith and obedience as we hear his voice. So it's not just that we want to understand, it's that we want to be transformed. It's that we want to adore our God together. And so going back to that 2 Timothy passage, which I think I've got back up on the slide, I've got a couple of really big encouragements for us as we seek to approach what it looks like to write and to lead a Bible study. And that is found in just like the very last part of the slide. It is God's word that we're reading. And that's really exciting because we want to be reading it on his terms. So that was all that we've been doing this morning. What is God saying? He gave us his word with a purpose in mind. So let's try and listen to him on his terms. But I also think that's hugely liberating because a Bible study is only ever a tool that we use to try and understand and dig into God's word together. It is God who speaks. And it is through his word and by his spirit that he changes and transforms his people. And so for me as a leader, that is massively freeing because it's not down to me. It's not down to how brilliant I think my questions are. It's not down to how well I navigate that discussion or avoid the pitfalls that there definitely are. It is God who is at work. And that is a real confidence thing to take in. And it's a real freedom thing for us anytime we want to teach. And so I have got a couple of don'ts here and a do that I think can be really helpful when we're thinking about Bible studies and what it's like. Some of you will have seen these before, and they're a Matty Guy classic, but I found them really helpful in my own time. A Bible study is not a lecture. It's not that I impart everything that I've learned in my comprehension, interpretation, application. You just kind of sit there silently and listen and nod. That's not a good Bible study. Slightly better than that, because it engages with people, is the quizmaster style, where I would ask a question, you'd reply, and then it bounced back to me, and then I'd ask another question, then you reply, and it kind of, you know, back and forth. We've all been in studies like that, I suspect. But I would suggest this is also not massively helpful. 3 big reasons. One is, I personally find them really boring. I don't know if you do too. It's just not a very interesting way to study God's word. Secondly, it doesn't encourage us as a group to grow in confidence that we can understand God's word together, because we're like, we'll just guess the right answer, like Ellie was saying, and then we'll be told if it's right or wrong, so we can just be quite lazy as a group. But finally, it doesn't encourage us as a group to think, how can we speak God's word together, that together we might be transformed? It's a bit like if we went out for lunch, and I ate a lovely burger, and I told you all about the burger I ate, and you thought, wow, that's amazing, Kirsty really loved this burger, that's such an interesting burger, I now know exactly how it's made. But it's very different to you having eaten that burger and feasted on it for yourself and enjoyed it and savored it, and that we'd savored it together and shared that experience. I'm sure that's a flawed analogy, but I think that's a little bit like a Quizmaster Bible study. You can end up thinking as a group, I'm just going to try and work out what my leader's thinking and what my leader thinks God is saying, rather than I'm going to try and work out what God himself is saying in his word. So we end up studying our leader and not the passage. What do we want to do instead? Well, here is a sporting analogy. I've neither been a player nor a coach in a very long time, but I do understand the concept. So here we go. Your aim is to be a bit like a player coach. You're on the pitch, but you don't want to score all the goals yourself. You're trying to help the group score the goal. So you're trying to encourage them. You're trying to steer it back a little bit. You know where it's going. You've done a little bit more work than they have because you've done some of this thinking before them. But you're trying to help together that you enjoy God's word together and that you reach what he's saying together as a team. Just turn to your little tables and just talk about those three illustrations for just 1 minute. What changes our attitude to Bible studies if we think actually the leader's more of a player coach than they are as a quiz master or a lecturer? Just 1 minute with your neighbours. Gang, I'm back. So what I've done is I've taken a slide actually from Matty, which I didn't edit, and I'm going to edit as I go because I don't totally agree with all of the phrasing, but the concept here is really helpful. So just bear with me. If you're reading it like, oh, that's not what Samuel said, but I think it's really helpful. So here are a key few things that I think are worth noting when we're thinking about writing a Bible study. Obviously, we've said already lots of times, we want it to be a conversation, we want the group to be working together, but it's a little bit more than just kind of facilitating a chat, if that makes sense. We've said that there is a purpose in God's word, there is a meaning to it, and therefore there will be things that are right, and there will be sometimes things that are wrong, and there will be things that are a whole way in between. Now, that doesn't need to panic you as a leader. This is where your group can serve really well because they help evaluate and discuss and say, is that really what he's getting at? Are you sure that's what he means? I saw that in action on Thursday night. Someone said, is it saying this? And someone else said, no, I'm not quite sure it is saying that. That's great. That's why we're feasting together. it's really useful then also to know that a group is going to see things and puzzle over things that we haven't seen as leaders. And it's wonderful to give space and leave space in your studies for groups just to enjoy it, to savor over things, to enjoy some of those implications that Hamish was talking about that's so hard on a Sunday morning to draw out. Occasionally you'll be like, yeah, let's spend 5 minutes just reveling in this. This is great. That is why we read God's word. It is living and it is active. And if we did the same Bible study 8 times with 8 different bunches of people, we'd end up with slightly different results. And that's because God's word is applying to different hearts, and that's really good. And not everything that we are going to have thought of in our comprehension, interpretation, application will make it to the study, and that's okay. And that is one of the things that I think is a big thing, particularly when you're starting out. Sometimes you think the thing that's most interesting to you is the big point, and often it's a cool point, but it's not the main point. And we'll often be coming back to you if you're a Thursday life group leader and giving feedback and saying, I think you've made something the main thing that's a fun thing, but it's not the main thing. So it's just kind of worth noting that and keeping that in your head, being like, okay, what is God really saying to them then and us now? That's a really helpful kind of guardrail for us. And so how do we, I don't know what slide we're on now. How exciting. There we go. How do we actually go about writing these Bible studies? That's why you came, was to find out how do we actually write it. So having done some of that groundwork, what do we say? Well, firstly, everyone is different. God's word is living and active. So there is no formula to making a perfect Bible study. I'm sorry, there is no magic bullet. There's nothing I can give you and they will be like perfection from now on. That is totally, totally fine. But there are some useful tools that we can use. So, ooh, that's exciting. I didn't realize the page had changed. Okay. So the aim of a Bible study is to bring people along the same process that we've done in our prep. So to bring them through comprehension, interpretation, and application. And that's not arbitrary. That is because, quite simply, we want people together to be asking that question, what does God say? What does God mean? And so what difference does that make to us? So what does God say? What does God mean? And so what difference does that make for us? And so that is where we, in our prep, might have come up with a big idea sentence. So what is the main point of the passage? And an aim sentence, which Hamish was helping us on. So how does God want the people who are reading this to respond? Those sentences are actually incredibly useful when you're about to write a Bible study, because they kind of act as guardrails. You can write questions and think, does that help get to that purpose? If that's God's purpose in giving this passage, do those questions help my group get that, feel that, see that, and understand that? Or actually, do my questions take you miles off and actually they're totally irrelevant and they've got nothing to do with helping the group see that grace changes them so that they can renounce ungodliness and that they can be trained for righteousness and that they can wait for Jesus' return? So they're not a straitjacket, but they, the harder you work on those sentences, the more freedom you will have in a study to be able to cope with tangential Reginald, I've renamed him. There's two of them. But when he's off on one, that's totally fine, because you've got an ability to be like, well, I know where we're going. We're trying to go this way, and we'll get there. We'll bring everyone along. It'll be great. So just before I get you to have a go, here are a couple of top tips on just what some really useful questions can be. Avoid closed questions. Essentially, you know, what does verse 14 say Jesus did? Because there's like one answer and that's it. And you're like, well, okay, great. But also avoid the super open questions, because if you just say something like, what does the passage say? That can seem like a trick question, or just too obvious, or too big, or too wildly, just, I don't know what to say then. So you're trying to go for a kind of an intentional question that is helpful but allows multiple answers. Be creative. This will mean different things to different personalities, but God's word is exciting, so let's get people excited as they look at it, as they dig into it, as they unpack it. The more we enjoy God's word, that as a leader, that will be really evident when other people are unpacking it. And then having a few supplementary questions are really helpful. This, particularly in interpretation, where it can get a bit tricky on what is God meaning here, it can be helpful just to turn it back to the group and say, what do others think? Can someone else summarize that? Or can you explain what that means? So we did Romans a couple of years ago, and you can kind of say, yeah, God says we're justified by faith. And you're like, great, guys, what does that mean? And then you realize that actually everyone's like, and that's really helpful, because actually you're saying, okay, as a group, let's try and figure out what does that mean. So there is a lot of freedom in Bible studies, I think, and this is why I love its context, to ask questions, to dig in, to really see that everyone in front of you, in a way you couldn't on a Sunday morning, is tracking and is with you and is following and is understanding. So love your group well by being prepared with those supplementary questions. But enough from me. I would love you guys to have a go at coming up with a Bible study on that passage that Hamish did for us. Now, it would be a very short Bible study because it's only verses 11 to 15, but incredibly rich from Titus 2. So Hamish has already done lots of hard work for us, and you guys have done lots of hard work on an aim, so you might want to go back and write a big idea for it as well. Have a go, maybe for about 5 minutes on your own, coming up with some questions, and then have a go. We can like share them in our little tables and see if we can come up with something. And I realized I've totally missed a slide, didn't I? Which was, what kind of questions are you asking? Well, essentially the same ones we did in prep. So you want to ask a couple on comprehension. What does it say? A couple on interpretation. What does this mean? And a couple from application. So what difference does this make? If you follow that in your kind of pattern of a Bible study, if it patterns your prep, that is just simply patterning the tools that God's given us to help understand his word. So have 5 minutes just on your own, and then we'll